Om Agnatimirandasya Janadana Salakaya Chaksur Sumilitan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Prakatamayam Datati Sapadantikam Vanjagapatu Vyascha Kripasindhu Vaibhascha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Myo Namo Namaha. One day, all the boys, including Krishna and Balaram, each boy taking his own group of calves, brought the calves to a reservoir of water, desiring to allow them to drink. After the animals drank water, the boys drank water there also. Right by the reservoir, the boys saw a gigantic body, resembling a mountain peak broken and struck down by a thunderbolt. They were afraid even to see such a huge living being. That great body demon was named Bakasura. Baka means crooked. He had assumed the body of a duck. Baka Rupadrik. Baka isn't exactly a duck. It's like these small cranes. It's a crane. They're crooked. In Vrindavan, they have lots of them, but this one was huge because it wasn't actually a baka, but it was a asura, a demon who had assumed that form. Why? Just to kill Krishna. This is the mentality of one asurabhav, a demonic mood, that one wishes naturally to remove all competitors. And who is a greater competitor than Krishna? He is the supreme at everything. So only if Krishna is removed, then there won't be anyone to stand in my way of being number one. Demonic mentality. So this great-bodied demon was named Bakasura. He had assumed the body of a duck with a very sharp beak. Having come there, he immediately swallowed Krishna. So we can just imagine how big he actually was. He just swallowed up this little boy Krishna, and all of Krishna's friends were there. So Bakasura thought that he had finished Krishna. So that brought great happiness to his heart. He swallowed Krishna. He actually did it. You've seen cranes? Mauritius, do they have cranes? No. Melbourne, do they have cranes? Only the kind that built buildings. Everywhere. There's too many cranes. That's the problem. But these, their beaks are very pointed, and they stand in the water. They're water birds. So this one was huge, and the coward boys, Krishna was everything for them. It's hard for us to, not hard, impossible again for us to imagine or comprehend what this deep spiritual love is. It's actually impossible for us to understand it. These coward boys, Krita Punja Punja, after many, 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 many births of spiritual piety and of worshipping Krishna, of serving Krishna, of loving Krishna, they had attained the fortune of association with Krishna. And they were playing him, Sakyam Vicharu Krita Punja Punja. They were playing with him as if just like friends. But to have Krishna, the most wonderful, supreme person, as one's friend, naturally fills the heart with so much love and affection. Everything the cowherd boys had given to Krishna, he was the purpose of their existence. And there he was, not fighting with this Bakasura, but having already been swallowed by him. So we can imagine the anxiety and the grief that immediately struck them. When Balaram And the other boy saw that Krishna had been devoured by the gigantic duck. They became almost unconscious, like senses without life. When there is a body, the nose is there, a dead body. The nose is there, the eyes are there, the ears are there, the mouth is there, the hands are there. But when the life is withdrawn from that, from them, even though they are there on one level, they become stunned, useless. Or if someone becomes unconscious, he gets knocked on the head, the sense organs are there, but they're useless, they're practically not there. Everything is withdrawn. So there was no meaning to the life of the cowherd boys. They became almost unconscious, like senses without life. Prabhupada's short purport. Although Balaram can do everything, because of intense affection for his brother, he was momentarily bewildered. So he experienced transcendental, purely spiritual bewilderment, even Balaram. But in that, because it was fully centered on Krishna, it was a variety of ecstasy based on ecstatic love. A similar thing is stated to have happened in connection with Rukmini Haran, the kidnapping of Rukmini. When Krishna, after kidnapping Rukmini, was attacked by all the kings, Rukmini was momentarily bewildered until the Lord took the proper steps. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on text 49 saying, seeing that the gigantic duck had swallowed Krishna, Balaram, and the other cowherd boys, became unconscious. Though Balaram could have easily killed the demon, he responded by fainting due to the intensity of his brotherly affection. And then he, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains a little more of what Prabhupada said. A similar thing happened during the Rukmini Harana Lila, the kidnapping of Rukmini, wherein Balaram displayed his brotherly affection by protecting Krishna from the attack of Jarasandha and other soldiers. Text 50. Krishna, who is the father of Lord Brahma, because there's always reminders to us that Krishna is not ordinary. He acts as if a little boy on some level, but yet his Aishwarya Shakti, his potency, comes out at different times. So this will be one incident where his potency comes out, his Aishwarya, his opulence, his powers of opulence. But that does not, when we forget in the material world by the power of Mahamaya, Maya, we forget who Krishna is, we forget that Krishna is God. And we are caught by the illusory energy. But the forgetfulness of the residents of Vrindavan, when they forget that Krishna is God, that's completely different. That forgetfulness caused by the internal energy, Yoga Maya, fills them. It is due to their great ecstatic love for Krishna. Completely different. So in both cases there's forgetfulness, but this forgetfulness is incredibly ecstatic because it's based on, again, love for Krishna. Krishna, who is the father of Lord Brahma, so we always have to be reminded who Krishna is, reminded that he's playing the part of a cowherd boy, but he's actually unlimitedly powerful. Krishna was the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a cowherd man, became like fire. Now what is the quality of fire? The main quality?
Heat.
Heat, yeah. We'll take heat, yes, light also. But he became like fire, burning the root of the demon's throat. And the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. Immediately, he had swallowed Krishna. And then Krishna became hot like fire. When the demons saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. Purport. Although Krishna is always as soft as a lotus, within the throat of Bakasura he created a burning sensation of being hotter than fire. Although Krishna's whole body is sweeter than sugar candy, Bakasura tasted bitterness and therefore immediately vomited Krishna up. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyetam mam papadyante tam stutaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna is sweeter than sugar candy, but due to Bakasura's mentality, he tasted Krishna as bitter. When Krishna entered the assembly of the wrestlers, in Kamsa's assembly, and this will occur later, Raso Vaisa, he is the reservoir of all rasas and the reservoir, the source of all relationships. So different individuals saw Krishna in different ways. He was one Krishna, but according to the mentality, different people see him differently. So the ladies there saw him as so attractive. The elderly ladies saw him in another way. The wrestlers saw him as in another way. Kamsa saw him as death. So when we see Krishna, or practically speaking, when we see anything in this world, what we are really viewing is our own mind. Because we see conceptually by the concepts that our mind carries with it. So similarly, when we have a demonic mentality, if we were to have such a mentality, we would see Krishna as something terrifying. Mrityu haram. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am death even. This is me. But for a devotee, even if Krishna comes in that form, he doesn't become frightened because he holds on tightly to Krishna. So Krishna became like fire burning the root of the demon's throat, and the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. Although Krishna is as soft as a lotus within the throat of Bakasura, he created a burning sensation, being hotter than fire. Although Krishna's whole body is sweeter than sugar candy, Bakasura tasted bitterness and therefore immediately vomited Krishna up. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyetamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. When Krishna is accepted as an enemy, he becomes the most intolerable object for the non-devotee who cannot tolerate Krishna within or without. Here, this is shown by the example of Bakasura. Text 51. When Krishna, the leader of the Vaishnavas, saw that the demon Bakasura, the friend of Kamsa, was endeavoring to attack him, with his arms he captured the demon by the two halves of the beak. And in the presence of all the coward boys, Krishna very easily bifurcated him, as a child splits a blade of varana grass. By thus killing the demon, Krishna very much pleased the denizens of heaven. So just imagine the coward boy's misery. How is it that Krishna is becoming vanquished when the demon had eaten him? But then very quickly the situation was reversed, and their greatest of grief had turned into the greatest of happiness, because not only was Krishna not vanquished, he had immediately killed the demon. Just as easily as what? Is split by a child. So a child can just, is it taking much effort to take a blade of grass and at that time, the celestial denizens of the higher planetary system showered Malika Pushpa, flowers grown in Nandana Kanana, upon Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura. They also congratulated him by sounding a celestial kettle drums and conch shells, and by offering prayers. Seeing this, the coward boys were struck with wonder. There they were with their friend Krishna, and he just kills this big demon. And then all of a sudden there's flowers coming from the sky and kettle drums sounding, and they're thinking, oh, this is wonderful. Just as the senses are pacified when consciousness and life return, so when Krishna was freed from this danger, all the boys, including Balaram, thought that their life had been restored. They embraced Krishna in good consciousness. Did anyone of you have the experience of you lost something? Say your wallet, and it had everything in it. And then you, for some time, you think that life, oh, there's nothing in life, there's so much pain, everything is empty. And then you find it again. And what a relief. Life returns again. Did that ever happen to you? So the coward boys and Balaram thought that their life had been restored. They embraced Krishna and good consciousness, and then they collected their own calves and they returned to Brajabhumi. They returned to their place. Brajam Itya, they returned to Braja. And Tadjagu, they loudly declared the incident. They declared the incident loudly. They were speaking about it. They were singing. When Krishna would return to Braja, first the cows, the residents of Vrindavan would see first the dust from the cows. Then the cows would come. They would see the cows and they would hear the sound of the Krishna's flute and the boys singing Giti Kirti, and they would always be singing the glories of Krishna, saying what Krishna had done. And indeed, look what Krishna had done. The demon had bitten Krishna, tried to kill him, swallowed Krishna. And they would sing about this. And then Krishna killed the demon as easily as a child splits a blade of grass. And they would sing songs about glorious Krishna. And indeed, when we also sing about Krishna, chant Krishna's glories, kirtan, then we also become happy. Prabhupada's purport. 53. It was the practice of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi to compose poetry about the incidents that occurred in the forest when Krishna performed his different activities of killing the asuras. So they would sing these poetical compositions about Krishna. The coward boys would, as they were coming back, and all the residents of Vrindavan, they would be so happy to see Krishna, and they would be so happy to hear about Krishna's wonderful activities. They would compose all the stories in poetry, or have this done by professional poets, and then they would sing about these incidents. Thus it is written here that the cowboys sang very loudly. Krishnadas Chakravarti Thakur says, just like enlivened senses, the boys regained their lives when Krishna returned from the clutches of the demon. Balaram and the boy embraced Krishna and then collected their calves to return home. They loudly proclaimed the killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura. Does anyone remember how Krishna killed Vatsasura? Yeah. Yes. And how did he actually kill him? Just by the swinging, the centrifugal force. He killed him like that. And then after he was dead, he threw him into that tree. And then at the same time, the fruits came down. He did that for the coward boys so they could get the fruits easily. They loudly proclaimed the killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura. A second meaning, the coward boys set the descriptions of these pastimes to poetic melodies and rhythm so that they could sing them on other days. How nice it is. 54. When the coward men and women heard about the killing of Bakasura in the forest, they were very much astonished. upon seeing Krishna and hearing the story, they received Krishna very eagerly, thinking that Krishna and the other boys had returned from the mouth of death. Thus they looked upon Krishna and the boys with silent eyes, not wanting to turn their eyes aside now that the boys were safe. They just wanted to look at him with love-filled eyes. They wouldn't even look the other way. And Krishna was so beautiful, all attractive. Beautiful hair, beautiful eyes, beautiful smile, beautiful dress, beautiful way of singing, beautiful way of playing his flute, powerful, so attractive, with a peacock feather in his hair, and decorated with the forest minerals and the dust raised by the hooves of the calves. So beautiful. So beautiful. Purport. Because of intense love for Krishna, the cowherd men and women simply remained silent, thinking of how Krishna and the boys had been saved. The cowherd men and women looked upon Krishna and the boys and did not desire to turn their eyes aside. That's Prabhupada's purport. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the gopas and gopis were very pleased to see their most beloved Krishna. He is Ati Priya. Ati Priya Krishna. With eyes thirsting to drink the nectar of Krishna's beauty, they glanced at him, looking over his whole body for fear that he was wounded. 55. The coward men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, began to contemplate. It is very astonishing that although this boy Krishna has many times faced many varied causes of death, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it was these causes of fear that were killed instead of him. So they weren't allowed to understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for, because again, it would interfere with their intimacy of their love. Because the coward boys, they were, the coward men, they were fearful based on love for Krishna, but if they were conscious of him being God, the unconquerable, all-powerful Lord, then there would be no fear, there would be no intensity of loving experiences with him. So therefore that their love is so wonderful and powerful, it covers their knowledge. Prabhupada's purport. The coward men innocently thought, because our Krishna is innocent, the causes of death that appeared before him were themselves killed instead of Krishna. This is the greatest grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were thinking that the grace of the Lord was that Krishna was protected by God. This is the most wonderful thing that God can do, is protect Krishna. Because they're thinking like this due to their love for Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, short comment. Three verses, the next 55, 6, 7, 8, that's, describe the amazement of the cowherd men in discussing Krishna's exploits. This boy Krishna has faced many causes of death, but these causes of fear were killed and not our innocent boy. They continued. Although the causes of death, this is 56, the daityas, demons, were very fierce. They could not kill this boy. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached by them, they themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. Just like if flies, they become angry at a fire. You know, flies sometimes get angry. You notice that sometimes? You notice they come and they get angry at you. they can't get out of the room or something. And if they get angry at fire and they decide, I will attack that fire, I will show something, I will disturb that fire, what happens? They just die. So that's what they're saying. And this is all the grace of the Supreme Lord, because Krishna is so innocent and so sweet and so beautiful. Or they think, oh, because Nanda Maharaj is such a great devotee of Lord Narayan and Lord Nrisimhadev, therefore Krishna is always being protected. They cannot conceive that he is the all-powerful Supreme Lord, the Avatari, the source of all avatars. They can't conceive that because Yogamai will not allow it, for the reasons we mentioned. Nanda Maharaj, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, Nanda Maharaj innocently thought, perhaps this boy, Krishna, formerly killed all these demons, and therefore in this life they are troubling him. This verse answers the question, if that were true, then they would have been able to destroy Krishna. But when they tried to kill Krishna, they got killed by him. So if you kill someone in one life, they will have the opportunity to kill you in another life. So Nanda Maharaj might have been thinking that, oh, maybe Krishna, such a wonderful boy, killed these demons in a previous life and now they're getting even with him. But this verse explains, no, that's not, couldn't be the case, because then they would have killed Krishna. But indeed, instead, Krishna was able to kill them effortlessly, just as flies enter, yes, attack the fire in their great anger and noble anger, and then they just meet their own death. 57. The words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Garga Muni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. This was in an earlier chapter. Garga Muni made his predictions that just by remembering this boy, you'll be able to cross the exploits. He is equal to Narayan in power. He is so wonderful. Purport by Prabhupada. The purpose of human life is indicated in the Brahma Sutra. Atato Brahma Gigyasa. To make one's life perfect in the past, present, and future, one must learn about Brahman. Because of intense affection, Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna as he is. Garga Muni was able to know everything, past, present, and future, by studying the Vedas, but Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna directly. Because of his intense love for Krishna, he forgot who Krishna was and could not understand Krishna's potency. Although Krishna is Narayan himself, Garga Muni did not disclose this. But because of his deep affection, he could not understand who Krishna was, although Garga Muni had said that Krishna's qualities would be exactly like those of Narayan. That's what Garga Muni's words were. But he didn't want to say directly that he was Narayan himself. And the final text. In this way, all the coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj. So in this chapter, Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj's loving glories were both mentioned and emphasized. In this way, all the coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure. They would simply talk about Krishna and Balaram, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. Prabhupada's purport. Well, this is the next to last verse, actually. Here is an instruction about the result of studying or discussing the Krishna Leelas that appear in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadyo ridyavarudyate trakritabhi shashushabhi takshanat. Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and Vrindavan appeared like ordinary persons of this material world, but they never felt the tribulations of this world, although they sometimes met many dangerous situations created by demons. This is a practical example. If we follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj and the gopas, we can all be happy simply by discussing the activities of Krishna. anartha upasamam sakshat bhakti yoga hochaje lokasya janato vidma. Lokasya janato, the people of janata, they do not know that bhakti yoga toward hochaje, to Krishna, anartha upasamam sakshat, it will remove all the anarthas from the heart, and the people do not know this. And therefore, Srila Vyasadeva Chakra Sattvita Samhita, he wrote this Sattva, devotee, the Samhita for the devotees, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just so that people can discuss and remove all the miseries from the heart. Vyasadeva, Prabhupada's Popo continues, has given this literature so that everyone may understand one's transcendental position simply by discussing Bhagavad Katha. Even at the present moment, everyone, everywhere, can be happy and free from material tribulation. Tribulation means disturbances. This is what the material world means. So many disturbances, one after the next. And we try so many material ways to remove the disturbances, and often the cures that we make to cure the problem turn out to be worse than the actual disturbance itself. But everyone can be happy, everyone everywhere can be happy and free from material tribulations by following Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no need of austerities and penances, which in this age are very difficult to perform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore declared, Sarvatma Snaparam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. By our Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam so that anyone in any part of the world can be absorbed in the Krishna consciousness movement by chanting and hearing about the activities of Krishna, and be free from all material tribulations. Quite wonderful. Prabhupada is explaining the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement and the result of it. The Krishna consciousness movement means the movement to be Krishna conscious. And the methodology is to chant about Krishna and hear about Krishna, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, and remember Krishna. And then Anartha Upasamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Hoshi Lokasya, and then Yasmin Vai Sri Amanayam Krishna Paramapuruse Bhakti Rupadite Pungsan Soka Moha. Soka Moha, lamentation and illusion removed by this process, by this Bhakti Yoga. And these are the causes of our miseries: ignorance, passion, lamentation, illusion. And then the victim of Chakravarti Thakur 58 says, Nanda Maharaj and the coward men sat in the meeting room and repeatedly discussed the naughtiness of the boy and his killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura. They would have big, big meetings, and this is what they would discuss. This boy is so naughty, he's done this and this and this and this. This boy is so powerful, he's killed Vatsasura by spinning him around by his hind legs and his tail, and he's killed Vatsasura that way, and Bakasura by splitting him. And they knew all these things because the coward boys were always singing about it. So everyone in Vrindavan was constantly, continuously singing about Krishna because they had nothing but love for him. So they sat in a big meeting room and they repeatedly discussed the naughtiness of the boy and his killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura. They also composed songs which they sang again and again, and thus they did not perceive the tribulations of material existence. Other elderly coward men coming from distant places informed Nanda about the need to be liberated from the material world. Half your life is gone, they would say. Why do you remain immersed in discussing about children, child, family, and wife? Why don't you concentrate on knowledge, detachment, austerity, and remembrance of Narayan so that you get deliverance from the material world? though requested in this way, Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men did not pay any attention to that. To say that this phrase means they did not accept, that they did not suffer the pains of material life is not acceptable. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the exalted nature of the coward men and women who are not touched by the material world born of ignorance. There's no question that they could be affected by the pains of the material world. In this way, whatever appears as material tribulation simply nourishes the pastime and therefore is called lilamaya. Not only did the coward men, so Prabhupada spoke about Krishna Katha removing the miseries of the material world and the, giving the example of the residents of Vrindavan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because Prabhupada is encouraging us to do this. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining, but actually the residents of Vrindavan don't experience any miseries. They're not touched by any miseries. They're not touched by any ignorance. They are not touched by the material world. There's no question that we could be affected by the pains of the material world. Just what's going on just nourishes the lila, nourishes the pastimes. Not only did the coward man speak about Krishna and his past and future pastimes, but they also enjoyed playing with Krishna. Thus they did not know the sufferings of materialistic persons, though they were living in the material world. When the Brijbasis say, I am suffering from hunger, that hunger is not related to the material world. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. So what were they experiencing? What exactly were they experiencing? Because we know things by comparison. We say, how big was it? Oh, it was as big as a hill. So the unknown is known by a comparison to the known. A very typical way to... But actually we cannot know. We could say their happiness has nothing to do with the material world. So that gives us an idea. But it doesn't give us an accurate idea of what they experience. We could say that their happiness is a billion times a billion more than any happiness in the material world. So then we get a glimpse, oh, it must be so great. But it doesn't give us a real idea of what they're experiencing, because the happiness of the material world is nothing. Even if you took the happiness of the material world and times a billion or a billion, it doesn't have anything to do with this other happiness any more than if you took a million times pieces of grass and you take a million of them, it becomes a mango. No, a mango is completely different. So similarly, the spiritual happiness experienced by the residents of Vrindavan is on a completely different level. And that is what we are meant to experience. But to give us an idea, if we think that the happiness of this world, whatever happiness we've ever experienced in this world, if we times it by billions and billions and billions, that's what the spiritual world is like. That's to give us some impetus to leave this world behind and go there and have our consciousness focused there. Because if our consciousness is not focused there, if we want to enjoy this world, we will not be able to go there. We will get stuck here. We have to leave this world behind. We will leave our current situation behind. By the power of mrityuhara, by the power of death, Krishna coming in that form. So, but we should go on to the spiritual world. We have to hear about Krishna to get inspired for that. We have to associate with devotees. We have to chant Krishna's names. We have to pray to Gaura-Nitai. We have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and live in a holy place. This way our consciousness become purified. And yayatam mam papadyante, if we don't have pure consciousness, then we get mixed results. If we have demonic consciousness, we get horrible results. If So depending upon how pure or impure we are, we see the world, and Krishna will reciprocate with us in that way. And then the final verse. In this way, Krishna and Balaram passed their childhood age in Brajabhumi by engaging in activities of childish play, such as playing hide-and-seek, constructing a make-believe bridge on the ocean, and jumping here and there like monkeys. So in this way, the boys, they can play with anything because they have such good imaginations. They can play with anything, they can enjoy anything. So the boys, when they were together, they played, they made bridges to Lanka. And that place, you've seen that place? What is it? In Kamyavan?
Oh, yeah. There's a Kamyavan.
In Kamyavan, where there's...
The Vimala from the
behind. Behind that is where, there's, where they used to play. You've seen that too? I went to Bhimalakan, but I didn't see that. Very close?
Very close. Definitely 50 meters.
I was just there, and I didn't see.
And there's Bhimalakan here in the road, in the grove, in the...
Yeah. Next time I will go with you. You will take me and show me. Okay?
And big stone, they're all Ram's name, back in there.
Oh, nice. Krishna conscious playing. Start on chapter 12, which is called The Killing of the Demon Agasura. So this is a very frightening chapter. So don't get too afraid though, because know that Krishna will be okay. Okay? Otherwise, we won't let you come. So you have to, what is it? This isn't PG rated. Very for mature audiences only. Sukadev Goswami continued, O King, one day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. Does that sound like fun? To go with Krishna?
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Having risen early in the morning, he blew his bugle made of horn, and he woke all the cowherd boys and calves with its beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping their respective groups of calves before them, proceeded from Brajabhumi to the forest. So just the boys were just waiting for Krishna to call them, and when they heard the horn, meant, oh, Krishna's calling us. They immediately, because it's usually hard to get boys out of bed. But when Krishna is calling, then it's very easy. They just come immediately. Prabhupada doesn't have a purport, but Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, one day, Krishna decided to enjoy a picnic in the forest. Only Krishna's name is mentioned, Hari, indicating that Rohini forcibly kept Balaram at home in order to bathe him and perform auspicious rites on his birthday. So this is on, this took place on the birthday of Balaram. What does this mean, this Hari? That means that Krishna, he's only went, Balaram didn't go, he didn't say, I'm with Balaram, so Krishna went. And Rohini forcibly kept him home. Why do you think Rohini forcibly kept him home? He wanted to be with Krishna and his friends. At that time, at that time, hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys came out of their respective homes in Brajabhumi and joined Krishna. Keeping before them their hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. Each boy had their own group of calves. The boys were very beautiful, and they were equipped with lunch bags, bugles, flutes, and sticks for controlling the calves. What a scene. Balalagi. Along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Vatsar Asankhyatai are significant. The word Asankhyatai means unlimited, because Sankhya means counting, to count. So Asankhyatai means you can't count them. There were so many, unlimited. So there were unlimited calves there. Unlimited calves. And Krishna took care of all of them. Krishna's calves were unlimited. We may speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so on. But when we go further to speak of numbers impossible for us to count, we are speaking of unlimited numbers. So one could say, how is it possible that there could be unlimited calves there? And what's your answer?
Krishna is unlimited.
Krishna is unlimited and he's there. That's a good answer. What other answer? How is it possible? What answer? The book of Krishna. And if one doesn't accept that Krishna or God has achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. Inconceivable potencies means that his power is beyond our ability to understand. So because you can't have unlimited cows, does that mean that someone who has unlimited power can't have unlimited cows? So then the question comes, well, do you accept that God exists or not? If you accept that that God is there, then you have to accept that he has achintya shakti, inconceivable power. Otherwise, there's no meaning to God. If he had conceivable power, limited power, like me, finite power, then there would be no meaning to him, to God. By definition, as soon as you say God, it means the being who possesses inconceivable, unlimited power. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the words asankhyata. Krishna is unlimited, his potency is unlimited, his cows and calves are unlimited, and his space is unlimited. Therefore, he is described in Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. The word Brahman means unlimited, and Krishna is the supreme unlimited Parabrahma. Therefore, we should not consider the statements of this verse to be mythological. They are factual, but inconceivable. Krishna can accommodate an unlimited number of calves and an unlimited measurement of space. This is neither mythological nor false, but if we study Krishna's potency with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible to understand. Ataksi Krishnamadi Nambavet Kayamindriyai. Our senses cannot perceive how we could keep an unlimited number of calves and cows and have unlimited space in which to do so. But this is answered in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Evam Prabhur Priyanam Cha Damnas Cha Samasya Cha Avichintya Prabhavatvad Atrakinchit Nadurgatam. Sri Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that since everything about Krishna is unlimited, nothing is impossible for him. It is in this sense that we have to understand this verse. Nothing is impossible for him. So is that a happy thing to think about? That nothing is impossible for him? What do you think? Yeah, it's inconceivable. But also, if nothing is impossible for him, it's also possible for him to save me and make me into a devotee. So that is very hopeful. Now, how to influence him To get him to want to do that, though, that is the question. How to get Krishna to bestow one little drop of mercy, Eka Bindu Diya, upon us, so that we can become qualified to be with Krishna. This is a meditation for devotees, something to think about. How can I get Krishna to bestow one little bit of unlimited mercy upon me? So think about this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on text 3. No, he doesn't comment on text 3 actually. Okay, we'll read 4. Although all these boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, gunja, pearls and gold. What is kacha? Kacha. A kind of gem.
Like
crystal? No, that's sputti is crystal. Sputti is crystal. Yeah, okay, so some kind of a gem. Kacha, gunja, gunja mala, pearls and gold. All the boys were decorated. When they went into the forest, they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and soft minerals. So they would take the minerals and they would enjoy themselves. They're boys, just having a good time with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Peacock feathers. The boys were wearing peacock feathers too. Not only Krishna. And Balaram couldn't go that day. I mean, he had to forcibly keep him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if Krishna allows, on next Wednesday we'll begin with text 5. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Krishna's childhood pastimes Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.